Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Bradley Hodge is out. He's down at Maui, I believe. He might be settling down there and maybe buying a house and taking the fam down there. So I'm joined by the classy, the elegant Greggy Blewett. Blue, thanks for joining us on the Bowlology Report.
No worries, Flemo. Hard shoes to fill though, Bradley Hodge. As you said, down there looking for a house, so I'll try my best.
Would it be somewhere where you could potentially move? I know you guys, you've got the two young boys now, you know, very good golf being down there in Gippsland.
I've had some Maui before, but I haven't been to Maui. So anyway, I'll put it on my list, my bucket list.
Hey, Blue, we're up here for the Gabba Test for Channel 7. Have you been enjoying the commentary side of things?
Loved it. Yeah, when I got asked to be a part of the team, I couldn't wait for the summer to start, Flemo. So, geez, I'd love a few more close games in the Big Bash, though, I must admit. But yeah. Looking forward to these couple of tests.
What about an Aussie win up here? The Gabba.
Well, we need something for the fans to cheer about. I just got a feeling that, yeah, with what happened 9 months ago, you know, Australian cricket's at a certain place at the moment, and then the result against India, of course, India winning for the first time in Australia, which is we need a win, don't we?
I tell you what, we've got some ins for this test match. Mm. Who'd be the actual test 11 that you'd go with tomorrow?
Well, I'd be leaving Labuschagne out, but I've got a feeling that he might play, but he'd be out of my 11.
So why is that?
Because I'm going with Burns. So Burns and Labuschagne, I don't think can play in the same team. So I'd go with Burns and Harris up the top. I just like Usman Khawaja at number three. I just think he's perfectly suited to number three.
I've got a feeling that's where he'll bat in the Ashes.
Yep.
So why not keep him there?
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I reckon they'll go, well, my 11, as we're saying, is Harris, Burns, Khawaja, Patterson to make his debut at number four. They can't bring him into the squad in this sort of form and not play him, so he's got to play for mine. Five, Travis Head, Pekowski at number six. Again, for a youngster coming into the squad, I think he has to play, and yep. I think it's a great place to blood him as well at number six. Then I'd go Payne, and then you're four quick. So obviously Cummins plays, Stark plays, Lyon plays. He's not a quick. He's no. the off-spinner, of course.
And who you go?
And then
Richardson,
I'd go with Siddle.
Okay.
Now, I picked my team a couple of days ago and I've been slaughtered on social media about Siddle playing. Everyone wants to see Jai Richardson play. The only reason I went with Siddle is because of his replacement in terms of Hazelwood. I just think he's a good, solid bowler. He's only going to go for two runs and over.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And he's been in the squad the whole summer. So if he's been in the squad, he's got to be close to selection. So I don't see why he'd get overlooked now. But having said that, I've got a feeling they're going to go with Richardson. And if he does play, he's exciting. So
let's go through them. Yeah, you know, personally for myself, I want to see Burns play. It's right and left hand. Burns has scored three test hundreds. I think he's been a bit unlucky through this whole 12 months. I mean, you go back to South Africa, he actually top scored in the second innings in a nightmare test, 40-odd against a good attack. What about Patterson? Like, we've heard a lot about him and he was close to playing 2 years ago and they went with Nick Maddison. You're around the state scene at the moment. What do you like about him as a player?
Well, I've been around for a couple of years with the Redbacks and every time he's played us, he hasn't done too well. So I haven't seen a lot of him, but what I hear from the guys is that he's a very good player. And the 100 that he made at the Perth Stadium against the Whackers earlier in the year, they're saying is, you know, one of the great Shield 100s. So,
And he's been pretty consistent. Like, yeah. I remember as an 18-year-old, he got that 150 on debut.
That's right.
Oh, here he goes. He'll be playing by the time he's 21. Now, careers don't always go on the incline.
Yep.
But his average over the last 4 years is in the early 40s. There's not a lot of blokes going around with that. And he looks like he doesn't get a big bash contract. And yep. we saw Pujara, who doesn't have an IPL contract. He looks like he's that type of... He's classier than a grafter, but I like that type of player in a Test 6.
I'm thinking and hearing really good things about him. So as a player, they're saying he's really matured. The big thing is his conversion rate. So he's got 25 hundreds from 50 first-class games and only 600s. So, I mean, he's not the lone ranger, though. There's a lot of young players going around at the moment that aren't making big hundreds. So, but... From what I'm hearing from Trent Copeland, who's obviously with Seven as and saying that he's very prepared to play Test match cricket right now, so it's a great time to select him. Obviously, coming off, you know,
I think it's
against
fair
Sri
enough.
Lanka. So
I think they picked the squad too early.
Yeah,
you know, 15
as they
days
always
ago.
Do. Why do they do that? And I know it's because of the marketing and stuff like that. But let's just who cares?
I don't care about the marketing.
We just want to make sure we get the best selection right
in form,
best selected team. So I'm glad that he's in, and yeah, from all reports he's, and what a great time to play when you're in great form. So that's the art of selection. You've got to play players that are in form.
What about Will Pekowski? Have you seen much of him?
A little bit.
He hasn't
off,
played a lot. Yeah.
A little bit of him. He played a Futures game at the start of the year that I was helping out with. So I was with the South Australian Futures team. He made a very nice 70, missed out in the second innings. But the 70 he made, he just looked like he did it easily. And I watched him in the nets warming up. Just that balance. He just looks like he's got it to me, and he's done some amazing things at junior level. He's already done some amazing things for Victoria.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling that they would have picked him in the first Test match against India if things were going well for him off the field, which obviously they weren't. But to have done what he's done so far in his short career, he's obviously quite special. So I like the fact that they're picking a 20-year-old at the moment.
And just with the... last one, I actually probably would go Richardson. So I'm a little bit different.
Yep.
That's really harsh on Peter Siddle because he's been around the group. There's no doubt Justin Langer loves Peter Siddle and what he provides and unselfish. But I sort of know what I'm going to get with Peter Siddle. I'd take him to England because he bowls fuller and tighter. I want to see whether Richardson in two tests actually gets himself selected for England.
I'm not unhappy with Richardson playing. Don't get me wrong. So, you know, I was just going, I'm probably a little bit loyal as
but
well.
Why having, is Sid's around the group and not
that's
playing?
Right.
It's a
so
whole
is
summer.
He just there as a playing coach or, you know, why is he there? But look, I'm not unhappy if Richardson plays at all because he's exciting. He bowls 145 up to 150. He can swing the ball both ways as well, Flemo. So I think a lot of people have seen him swing it away from the right-handers, but he's got the ability to swing one back as well. So he's very exciting. He's not very tall. That's what people don't know. I think he's under 6 foot, but really good athlete, great fielder,
can bat a bit too.
Look, if he plays, you know, that'd be exciting as well.
Hey, Blue, and obviously you're a part of the Australian team, you know, as the fielding coach, so you know about the inner dynamics there. So we've got two new vice-captains and the last couple, this is probably not a role you want at this occasion here. Pat Cummins, you know, he's a superstar. And I like him potentially having a leadership role down the track. Travis Head surprised me because I'm thinking, well, let's let him establish his career first. But then I was sort of thinking, if Payne got injured, he's the most experienced captain. He's been captaining South Australia for a few years now and the Strikers. So can you talk a little bit about Travis Head's leadership and captaincy ability?
Yeah. What I'm with you. Like, I was surprised to see Travis named as vice captain because, yeah, I think he's not established in the team yet. But from what we're hearing that, you know, when they went through the process, he presented a really good case to be part of the leadership group.
Okay, yeah.
But I want to hear also from the Australian team what does happen if Tim Payne does break a finger. Obviously, you can't keep it. Who captains out of Pat or
Well, I just
Trav,
think it has right? to be Travis Head because of his probably 4 years now. He's a captain at 21 years of age.
Yep.
That's the only I'm thinking. He knows how to set fields and deal with things, whereas some of our even older players haven't captained.
Yep, yep. No, well, I think
so
you're right.
So that's what I'm coming around
to
going.
I think you're right, but I'd love to hear that from, you know, if you do name two vice-captains,
yeah,
I want to hear Yeah, I want to hear why or what happens if there is, if something does happen to Tim Payne. But anyway, in terms of Travis Head, his growth over the last 2 years with his leadership has been brilliant, especially the way he sort of talks around the group. I think, you know,
because when he took it on, there wasn't a lot of experience around him, was there?
No. And you could see he was not overly comfortable talking in front of the group as well. But now he's really good. One slight criticism I've got is I thought his T20 leadership in terms of his tactics were brilliant last year when the Strikers won. In the Shield games, he can just let things drift a little bit tactically. So, you know, I know that he's working on that. And I think he's got to take some of his T20 leadership that way into the longer form as well. But in terms of a character around the group and that form of leadership, outstanding.
And so the Aussies are going on Sri Lanka. We had one series against Sri Lanka in 1999. I remember a fine innings by you in Colombo.
Yeah.
I think you got 82 in 4 hours. And I remember you took your helmet off and you looked like Skeletor from He-Man. You don't have a lot of weight anyway.
One of my more embarrassing moments, Flem, because people that haven't seen, well, probably not many people have seen my hair without product in it, but if I'm freshly out of the shower and it's just been washed, then it's a fluff ball. That's the best way to describe it. And that particular morning in Sri Lanka was some of the most...
It was oppressive wasn't it?
Anyway, so I'd, got the product in the hair that morning, so everything was fine, but I was starting to cramp. As you mentioned, I was out there for 4 hours or whatever and very boring. But I was starting to cramp and Errol Alcott, our physio, came out to address the problem.
Did he bring out hair product?
No, he didn't. But he did suggest to take my baggy green off to let the moisture or to let the heat escape from my head. And because it was so hot, my head dried in the space of about 5 seconds and I just looked. Then there was the fluff ball. So I'm batting for Australia in a test match without a lid or a cap on, and it just looked
like O.J. Simpson from Naked Gun 33 and
That's
a third.
Right. Anyway, I must have had 50 messages from my mates going, what are you doing? Get a cap on. But, one of my more embarrassing moments, Flint.
That's absolutely gold. Hey, mate, how do you see this test match playing out?
I see good things happening for the Australians. I mean, if we don't beat Sri Lanka at the Gabba on a fast, bouncy pitch with a pink ball swinging around, I reckon we are in trouble. Going to Canberra, every time I've played in Canberra or worked there, it's been a very flat pitch. So that might be a little bit more hard work for our bowlers, but I'd expect us to go 1-0 up.
All right,
this test match.
Blue, thanks for joining us on the Bowlology Report. We've got to get our mics. We're on air.
We're on, mate.
Let's go Channel 7. See you, buddy.
Let's do it.
Well, we're lucky enough today on the Bowlology Report to have the astute, the elegant, the Philip Tufnell-ness of Channel 7 BBL commentator extraordinaire. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
Lovely to be here. Lovely to be back at the Gabba, looking at a picture.
Hey, mate, what about your BBL experience? You've been enjoying it on Channel 7?
It's been great fun. I've been looked after royally by all the lads. We've had a bit
so
of
you
fun.
Should be.
Yeah, the odd game's not quite caught fire, is it? You know?
You've been very harsh on the batting and the fielding.
Well, it hasn't been great, mate. Simple as that. I was expecting, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I used to come over to Australia. All the boys were catching things, running us out from square leg and just getting hundreds. It's been a little bit poor for me.
Harry Gurney, he's been catching him well.
Bowled well, didn't he, Harry, the other night? He's a good death bowler. But, yeah, a few high catches in the morning for Harry, perhaps.
Can we just get him a couple?
Yeah, just a couple.
And, mate, you've been travelling around with your wife, Dawn.
Lovely Dawny.
Dawny's been meditating a few times a day.
Yeah, she's kind of turned it into a yoga shopping retreat, which is thoroughly enjoyed. -4 back home this morning, I saw. But
no, Dawny's enjoying it here.
She's loving it. Yeah, we're living the Australian lifestyle.
Yes,
and actually, I went for a lovely walk the other day down Coogee.
Yes, jump in the water.
Yeah, no sharks. No, me and the sharks had a meeting a long time ago, and we decided our paths will never cross.
No,
so don't go in the surf. And I looked down, and I saw an ab. I saw an egg. I haven't seen one of them for ages.
But what did you think straight away? Have I been stabbed?
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. So we're embracing the Australian way of life.
Hey, mate, and I heard you talk. You caught up some ex-teammates, Richard Illingworth. Yes. I heard you say Gucci. What was Graham Gooch doing over here?
No, that was me and Dorney went to Gucci. Yes, got a lovely bag.
So a bit more expensive than Graham Gooch.
Yes, and more hair.
Yeah. Actually, I'd like him to promote Gucci.
Yeah,
Gucci promoting Gucci.
Oh, he was a good man, Gucci. Funny enough, we get on very well now.
Absolutely. What do you mean now? Well, what was the problem?
Hated me when we
In
played.
What way? You know. Had very similar personalities.
Well, that's right. You know, he was trying to sort of get all the right, you know, all the running and the sit-ups involved.
Did you do
time.
Too much running?
I think so. You know what I mean? I think I put him to shame.
Well, at what moment did you think, I reckon Gucci's not a big rat for me? At what moment?
I think that the first time was during the World Series game at the SCG when I think it was Mark Waugh just sort of outside edged one to Eddie Hemmings, and he lobbed it into me. And I think Steve Waugh was actually walking off and taking the gloves off. And and I failed to.
Probably can't hear you. When
I failed to complete the run out. So he had a few choice words.
So that was a pretty slick English fielding lineup. If there's Hemmings and Tufnell,
Gat was in there as well.
So did anyone get a feed? The fast bowl. That's why they're all Foster and that was so skinny. They couldn't get a feed.
No,
Graham Dilley.
I know the boys were the boys could have a trough.
Now the nickname Cat. I believe there's a few versions. Can you give us version one?
I can do. Version one, out all night, sleep all day. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll
also, nine lives.
Yeah, I just said one version. You've already eaten into two. I hope you got four because I've budgeted on. Hey, people won't know. You were actually the school captain. And I think Masters, Smith and Jones just saw something in you. What did they see in you leadership-wise?
What are you talking about?
Were you captain at school? I'm looking up on Wiki.
Oh, was I captain at school? I might have been. Used to open the bat in the bowl left arm quick.
So was there leadership or just you were the best player?
I think it was the best player. But there was a little bit of leadership skills in me there for sure.
Yeah. What was one thing you would say to 12-year-old peers?
Well, I think also something that might have had to do is my dad had a Volvo estate. And so we could get from game to game and get all the kit bags in. So that's why I think they made me captain.
This kid's captain.
Yeah. No, open the batting. Where did that all go wrong?
Top score? Have you ever raised the bat for 100?
Yeah, I have, in schoolboy cricket. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's when all the boys got, you know, sort of, they were all about, you know, 5'4" or something in those days. When they got about 6 foot.
And the ball started bouncing from chest to head high.
Hairy armpits, beards, scared me a little bit. I like a clean shaven fast bowler.
Well, you're talking about clean shaven. What about Middlesex? When young Phil Tufnell rocks up there and there's Brearley and Gadding and co. What do you reckon they thought straight away?
Well, it was an interesting time, you know. I mean, for a start off, I was walking into a dressing room with 11 internationals.
Yeah.
You know, everyone had played for the country virtually. So, I mean, what a place to go and learn the game. You know, John Embry.
Phil Edmonds,
you know, we had all the boys. So it was a wonderful place to sort of do your apprenticeship, so to speak. But, had the old ponytail. In fact, ponytail Phil. Yeah, I used to have a ponytail, couple of earrings and everything like that. And Gat came up to me. We was playing at Uxbridge against Essex. And it was just before the test team had been announced. He said, Phil, you're coming with me. And I'll go, well, what do you mean? We're starting in half an hour. He frog marched me to his car, sat me in his car, took me to the hairdressers and made me sit there and have my hair cut. And I'm going, absolutely.
No, not Mr. Gadding.
No, this is not happening. He said, listen, that'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. 2 days later, got picked for England.
So got you picked by getting rid of the ponytail.
Yeah,
so what about England then? So you're straight in.
Yeah.
What are your expectations? And what was it like dressing rooms now? Because it wasn't anywhere near as professional as these. Hey?
It was great fun.
Yeah.
Came here when the boys went up in the Tiger Moths.
Yes.
I know. I thought
Gower, Morris.
This is fantastic. what a great laugh this is, playing for England. I want some more of this.
Were you playing? Could you see the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they didn't know, Gucci and Mickey Stewart. I was sitting there. I was sitting there waiting to go in. I think it was at Carrara Park.
Or Carrara.
Carrara Park.
Yeah.
That's right. And I'm sitting there waiting to go in the back. We've got all the you know, hierarchy there, Gucci and everything. And I'm sitting there waiting to go in the back. All of a sudden, we've heard sort of... like that, we were going,
what was that?
Yeah, they're all sudden, over the,
like it's an earthquake or something,
over the horizon, yeah. Two tiger moths,
yeah,
have dive bombed the ground, and we're all clapping and everything.
And the leadership group are all over at that stage, are they? Gucci, yeah. And Mickey Stewart,
yeah, but they didn't know who was flying the plane.
It was your number four and number six.
They got told in the presser afterwards. Well, they went absolutely mental. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
And was that for the lovely David Gow? Was that pretty much it? Do you reckon it was like?
Yeah, they didn't get on too well after that.
No.
You know, a couple of senior players. You know, there was a little bit of tension.
Because I mean, Bruce
team,
Dickinson from Iron Maiden, he actually flies their jet. I mean, if David Gow had went the next level and said, "Well, how about we didn't have a jet? Did you?
No, just a sop with camel from 1938.
What about cat story number two?
I've been caught having a wee in next door neighbour's flower beds a couple of times.
I hope you've got a number four. When did you peak? When was there a time you just looked up in the sky, you got ball in hand and going, Phil, it doesn't get any better than this? Was it the 11th against Australia, 1997?
Well, no, a little bit before that, actually. I think I might. There was a stat.
So your 11th, you're actually on the decline.
Yeah, a little bit, really. A little bit. No, because I think there's a stat knocking about somewhere that I might have been sort of like the second or third fastest to 50 wickets.
For England?
It might have even been...
Ever?
Yeah, it might have been. I'm not quite sure. No, I've got to do some research.
No, I'll do research
for
the pod.
Please do. Or it might be England, or it might be something. Because I had a right good time, early doors. Got 5 at Sydney in my second test match.
Boom.
Yeah.
Who'd you get out there?
AB. Terry Alderman was my 5.
Yeah, I mean, he was a very good number of 14, yeah. Dino?
Dino caught bold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a few of the other boys. Booney might have nicked one or something, I don't know. But, and then everyone's sort of...
Expectations were, we've got the next Derek Underwood.
Yeah, and everyone then has a little peep at you, don't they? And they sort of realise that you're just sort of...
Did you find the better you bowled, the more bounces you faced when you batted?
I weren't out long enough for a bat. I didn't get too many half volleys. That was the one disappointment. Because
if you could look back, if you'd say just a few more half volleys.
My pitch map, there might have been one half volley in 12
What about
or
Merv Hughes?
Years.
Where did he bowl to?
He usually bowled at the throat. Yes, that's right. And
did you go to the Nets match? Did you actually practice batting?
I had two nets in 12 years. Yeah. And the reason that was because it was at Perth and it was just before the test match in 1990. I was sitting there and Mickey Stewart said, right, you know, go and have a bat, Phil. And I didn't particularly like it. Used to have to get all hot and sweaty, you know. I mean, I was a bowler like that. And then two fellas, I think from one of the kind of suburb first graders came in and they both pulled up on Harley Davidsons, right, with the leather jackets on and everything and the big handlebar moustaches. No. And they were throwing new balls in the Perth nets to bowl at the old cat.
To a pom.
It was like legalised stoning. I had three balls. One whistled past my nose. One hit me in the ribs and one got me right on the finger just before the test match. I threw my bat out and walked out and said never again.
The life of Phil. Yeah. Stonings. Hey mate, what about your batting though? Like people don't know. Yeah, you average 5 in test match cricket.
Yeah,
so you great to walk out to bat and know within one shot you could actually increase your average. But no one talks about the 22 not out against India 1991, I think. Well, 1993. Solid 2 in the first innings.
Yeah.
That set up a 22 not out. Kapil Dev, Prabhakar, Kumble, all gone. Where'd you hit those 3 fours?
Another little stat for you. The longest 2 ever in test cricket. Look that one up, bad boy.
I didn't see that. I just saw 2.
No.
Longest so who were you batting with?
Hickey. Got Hickey through to his 100. Oh, it might have been Chris Lewis.
No, you got Lewis got 100 in the second innings.
Oh, did he?
Did you get 2 blokes to hundreds, mate?
Yeah, I think I did.
And then Lewis got out on you.
It took me about 2.5 sessions. Now, the 22, I think Kapil Dev might have been about 63.
Yes.
Yeah, and they played 4 spinners.
And where did you, can you remember the three fours? Were you a sweeper or?
I hit Anil Kumble twice back over his head.
And what did Anil Kumble say? Well, was there a bit of disbelief at the first one?
Said, he might have said something, but I didn't know whether it was particularly at me or anyone. He could have been ordering his dinner.
What about the career finishes? Did you know you're going to be a massive celebrity? When did it hit? Was it celebrity get me out of here? Was it?
Over here.
What
over
was
here?
It?
It was over here. I did it here, didn't I? The English I'm a Celebrity is up in
Queensland.
Yeah, just on the border with New South Wales.
Oh, near Carrara.
Yeah, that's right.
You could have driven your good Gower to drop you in the Tiger Moth.
I could have done, and it's the first time I've actually come back from Australia having won, which was fantastic.
So, did you have any doubts? Did you just go? What were you doing at the time? Were you anywhere?
Not particularly. I'd given up. England had given up on me a little bit, you know what I mean? So I was sort of, you know, I had a couple of years left on me Middlesex. You know, and I was thinking, I'm going to give a bit back to the game and sort of perhaps go round and, you know, teach the boys out to bowl and what have you. For a couple of years, they came in and said, do you fancy doing I'm a Celebrity? I said, do we go to Australia first class?
Yes.
And they said, yes. And I said, I'm in.
Did you have a return flight or you just
I think so.
Wasn't going to back yourself?
No, I mean, I just didn't.
So from there to now, like, you couldn't be any happier, could you?
No, I'm having a great time, mate. As I say, great to be over here watching the cricket and the BBL and doing a bit of work with Seven and what have you. And just trying to keep a smile on my face.
Well, just talking about this test match, pink test match. Yeah. Are you a fan of pink day-night test matches? And also, what about the Sri Lankans? Who are we coming up against? Because they played England. You watched it all.
Yeah, we done.
Who were the dangers for Sri Lanka?
Done them 3-0. First of all, not a massive fan of day-night test
matches. Why not?
Well, kind of gets in the way of your social life, doesn't it? You know what I mean? You want to go out for a nice dinner and get stuck in and have a few beers. But, I mean, looking forward to it. Sri Lanka... I quite like Dick Weller, of course.
Yeah, he's aggressive.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is an aggressive,
aggressive
cricketer.
One.
Yeah, and chirpy behind the stumps. Lakmal, not a bad bowler.
Good fast bowler, yeah.
And looks just like Dick Dastardly from Wacky Races.
From Wacky Races.
Get it up. Have a look out there, people. Spit an image.
Who's the Muttley then? Is that Dick Weller?
Could be
Muttley,
yeah.
Because he's chirpy. Who was your favourite out of Wacky Races?
Favourite out of Wacky Races? Well... Penelope Pitstop was pretty hot, wasn't she?
She was sensational.
She was sensational.
What else are we expecting? Young Mendes, Beldis around?
Yeah, decent. Listen, I think they'll do all right. You know, you would have thought that Australia would be too powerful for them and, you know, kind of blow them over. But, you know, they will nick a couple of sessions off you. They're that kind of team. You know, there's been a lot of sort of upset at the moment, haven't they, in Sri Lankan cricket.
I think Manuka could be better for them because it can get low and spin a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Hey, thanks a lot for the chat. We'll be commentating next few days. Have you got a last cat story, version four?
Yeah, well, when I first came into the Middlesex dressing room, you have to do like a little initiation, little party piece. And my party piece, I mean, it's a long time ago now, is that I could get myself in a position where I could lick my own balls.
That's Phil Duffin. Thanks, Duffin. Well, that's it from the Bowlology Report. It was a short one. It was a little Big Bash types one, but thanks for Greg Blewett and Phil Tufnell. We're going to have a bit of fun on Channel 7. We'll be back next time to review the first test at the Gabba. Pink Day Night Test Match, Australia versus Sri Lanka, updates on the Women's BBL Final, and we'll be building up to the Big Bash as well. So we'll be back with Bradley Hodge next time. Have a good week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.